Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, or your iPhones or whatever they are that you read your scripture on, you can open up to 1 Samuel 14. This will be the last time you hear me say that for a while. It's felt like I've been a broken record for the last 8 weeks saying open up to 1 Samuel 14, because today we're actually wrapping up our series titled Seizing the Moment. Now, it's a series that we kicked off 8 weeks ago. From today, we kicked off, and it's based out of Earl McManus's book, Chasing Daylight. And it's a series about Jonathan from the Scriptures. Some of you may be familiar with Jonathan, King Saul's son, David's friend, Jonathan. And it's this series about Jonathan and his willingness to step out and to make a difference. Because that's God's desire for all of our life, that we would be people who step out and make a difference where He's called us to make those differences. And so I want to just start this morning. We're going to read through the Scriptures one last time. We're going to read through them all. We've kind of broken them up over the time. But we're going to read through 1 Samuel 14, verses 6 through 23 this morning before we get started. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me there. Chapter 14, verse 6. And it says this, and to kind of set up, if you haven't been with us before, Saul and the army of Israel is sitting afraid. They should be advancing, but they're not. They're not moving forward. They've shrunk. They were afraid. Many of them have left. They went from an army of 3,000 down to an army of 600. And in fear, Saul is afraid to move forward. And so Jonathan responds and acts here. And so here's where we pick up 14 verse 6. It says, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come then, we will cross over towards the men and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Verse 13, Jonathan climbed up, using his hands and feet, with his armor-bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor-bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about a half an acre. Verse 15, then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field, those in the outpost and raiding parties. And the ground shook. An earthquake came. It was a panic sent by God. Verse 16, Saul's lookouts at Gibeah and Benjamin saw the army melting away in all directions. Then Saul said to the men who were with him, "Muster the forces and see who has left us." When they did, it was Jonathan, his son, and his armor bearer who were not there. Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God." At that time, it was with the Israelites. While Saul was talking to the priests, the tumult in the Philistine camp increased more and more. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all the men assembled and went to the battle. They found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their swords. Those Hebrews who had previously been with the Philistines and had gone up with them to their camp went over to the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. When all the Israelites who had hidden in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were on the run, they joined in the battle in hot pursuit. So the Lord rescued Israel that day, and the battle moved on beyond Beth-Aven. It's amazing to me all the things that God has been speaking to us out of these 18 verses. We started off 8 weeks ago, and the Lord has brought so much through each of these verses as we've walked through it. We started off talking about choices, right? the choices that we make, how they affect our life. Jonathan had a choice. Was he going to hide in fear like the rest of the Israel army, like his dad? Or was he going to act? Was he going to move out in what he knew God was telling him to do? You see, we're faced with choices every day. And the most important choice for us is that we choose to follow Jesus, right? To follow His will for our lives, regardless of what others are doing. That we step out and do what He's called us to do. So we talked about choices. Then we talked about taking initiative, right? Because sometimes we just sit around and we don't do anything. And we talked about taking initiative and doing something. Getting out there, doing something for the Lord. Because so often just putting ourselves out there is what helps open up the door for opportunities in our life. When we're just sitting doing nothing, the opportunities aren't going to come before us. We have to put ourselves out there. We have to do something. And then we talked about uncertainty. And that's a hard one. The reality that there are no guarantees in this world. Even Jonathan himself said, perhaps God will go with us, right? He didn't know for sure. He just knew, he felt like, hey, this is something I feel led to do, and I'm going to move, and perhaps it will happen. Nothing in life is guaranteed. And if we wait for guarantees before we move forward, the only thing we're going to guarantee ourselves is missed opportunities, right? And then we talked the next week about influence and the influence that Jonathan had on his armor bearer. That his armor bearer would say, I'm with you heart and soul. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And God's desire for us to be people who let our light shine in a way for others, that others are drawn towards Him, that are influenced towards Him. Then we talked about risk. That was the most difficult one, right? None of us like to risk. And the reality that living our life for Jesus will force us at times to take risks. That's why it's called faith, right? To step out in faith, to take those risks, to follow the Lord and do what He's called you to do. Then we talked the next week about just God's desire for us to go, right? We talked about there's certain things as Christians we don't need permission to do. He's already told us to go, to be His disciples that advance His kingdom. Because the reality is that's what we're called to do, to go into all the world, whether that's into India or whether that's out here into Dallas. We're called to go into all the world. And then we talked about that point of impact and the reality that when we follow Jesus, we're going to come against opposition. We're going to come against the enemy at times in our life. But as we push through that opposition, as we find opportunities to push through and impact others, then we'll impact others in ways that we never thought or imagined as we fight through those difficult times. And then last week, we talked about catching fire. We talked about then igniting others and how our willingness to step out can be contagious and how it often ignites others to join in the process. Sometimes there's so many people that are just waiting, but they're afraid. But when we step out, others come along and the fire gets ignited in people's lives. I don't know for you, but for me, it's been an amazing journey that we've walked through these past 8 weeks talking about the life of Jonathan and looking at Jonathan. And today we're going to wrap things up in our series as we talk about God's desire to see an awakening in the hearts of His people. Because that's what this series really has been about. Awakening us, that's hard to say, awakening us to live the life that God has called us to live. Now before I dive into the message this morning, I want to have you watch a special live monologue. I'm going to have Mike Dene join me up here. If many of you know Mike as part of our church, but you may not know that Mike is an actor. Acts in many different ways, whether it's TV, whether it's plays, all different ways. He's an actor. And he came to me probably about a month and a half, 2 months ago. We were kind of having a conversation and told me about this monologue that he had been working on based off some true life experiences that he had with his dad. And when I heard this monologue, I knew I told him, this will go perfectly with this series, especially specifically finishing out our series as we come to an end. And so I want you just to listen and to welcome Mike as he shares with us this monologue.
How's this? There we go. Okay. No, Dad, just listen to me, okay? Just listen to me. Would you stop? Just stop. Would you stop it? I need you to listen to me, and I need you to hear me. I'm not going to wait until you die to start living my life. I know this is your life's work. And I know how much money you've spent to get me on board. And I know, I don't know, I think I know how much it would mean to you for me to eventually take over. You don't know this, but every 2 weeks or so, I have a near breakdown because everything inside of me, every bit of my soul is screaming, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this? This isn't you. This is not me. This is not what I was designed to do." And as much of a sense of security as it may seem to provide, my soul is literally dying slowly. See, I've been given unique talents to be used for specific purposes. Purposes that my soul yearns to fulfill. And the way things are right now, it's not going to happen. It's just not an option. Do you realize that in the last year we've spent more time together than we have since I was 2? I haven't been doing this because I want to. I'm not doing this because I can be a good breadwinner for Emily. I'm not doing this because I'm drawn to it, Dad. I'm doing this because I want you to be my dad. But this is not the way for that to happen. Okay, we have gotten to know each other a lot better, and that's great, but the thing is, I feel like I'm constantly fighting for your approval, and all I want is for you to just be happy for who I am. And this path is not who I am. This is your desire for me. And see, you put being self-sufficient and being able to buy all the things that you want above everything else. And I am putting my God-given desire to serve Him the very best that I can above everything else. So, Dad, I'm leaving the business. And I love you.
Powerful monologue, huh? Hard not to get choked up a little bit. I wonder how many of us, though, can relate to that experience or something similar, where we're stuck in a place that makes us feel lifeless because we're not doing what we were created to do. We're not living the life that we were created to live. And maybe it's because, like Mike shared, that we're trying to please a parent or someone we love. We don't want to hurt their feelings. Or maybe it's because we're just afraid to take risk and to step out and to try something new. Or for some, maybe it's because society has labeled us and has told us who we are and what we should be. And we begin to believe the lies that the world has told us. Maybe it's because we don't know if we have what it takes. I don't know that I can step out there. I don't know that I can do that. And maybe it's just we're afraid. We're afraid of failing. What if I step out? What if I come out of this place? What if I move into this place? Perhaps God will show up, but what if He doesn't? And fear has kept us from moving forward, regardless of why we're stuck in that place. The reality is a lot of people are out there and are failing to live to live life to the fullest, to live the life that God has for them. Yeah, they may be breathing. Yes, they're alive. But they're lacking life. They're lacking the life that God has for them. You see, God's desire is to wake us up. And like Mike in his dialogue, have us begin to live the life that God has created us to live, that He created us for. He's given us unique gifts and abilities. And so often we abandon those because of what the world tells us we should be. You see, the story of Jonathan is an inspiring story that awakens the soul. I don't know about you, but I can't read through this and not be inspired. Jonathan, he knew who he was. He was a soldier. He was a man of God. He knew that. And he knew what God had said. We talked about it before, that he would deliver them out of the hands of the Philistines. He knew these things, and he didn't let anyone keep him from doing what he believed God was leading him to do. How often do we let other people keep us from doing what we believe we're supposed to do? See, the truth is we live in a dying world, and there's a lot of people out there that just seem to be okay with it. We allow the world to tell us how to live. We allow society to dictate what's right or what's wrong, right? We sink into our comfortable little lives and we hide out and really live much like Saul and the army. Afraid to move forward, just hoping that no one bothers us. And sadly, the church in America has done the same thing. You see, we come into our safe little buildings and we have our safe little gatherings, hiding out from all that's going on out there in the real world, trying to pretend that everything's okay, trying to keep ourselves safe and free from pain or conflict. And our Western culture hasn't helped us at all either. It's taught us to focus on ourselves. Our rights and our privileges as Americans has turned us into people who focus on ourselves. It's all about our wants and our needs. And we forget that we were called to serve others. We forget that life, this world, doesn't revolve around us. You see, when you look at the story of Jonathan, it's obvious he wasn't doing what he was doing for himself. He was acting on behalf of his people. He knew what God had said, and he put the future of Israel above himself. It wasn't about Jonathan. He was willing to die, trying to help Israel live. And his willingness to step out caused an awakening in the hearts of the people of Israel. You see, they begin to rise up and they begin to do what they were called to do. People who had gone to the other side were coming back to their side. People who had run and hid were coming back to be a part of what was going on. And the reality is we are called to live Jonathan-inspired lives. Lives that help awaken the dead that are all around us. When we begin to live the life that God's called us to live, people are drawn to that and begin to come alive. We're to live the lives that put God and others before ourselves. Because so often we don't do that. And I'm talking to myself here. Often I put myself first. We're called to live lives that aren't afraid to go and to live life to the fullest. You see, this book, Chasing Daylight, that we've been walking through, it fell into my hands about 7 or 8 years ago. And the story of Jonathan, because it wasn't the book, it was the scripture that this book pointed to. It was the story of Jonathan in this book. The story of Jonathan challenged me to begin to live my life differently. It woke me up from my comfortable little life, my nice little youth group, and just the nice little house and just that comfortable life. And it pushed me to begin to take chances and live life with a whole new passion. The awakening that this book brought to my life, is what led me to become a pastor here in Dallas. I was very happy just being my youth pastor, living my comfortable life, and God said, no, I have more for you. Are you willing to step out? Are you willing to awake and live the life that I have called you to live? And as I began to do that, he opened doors that I wasn't ready to go through. Or at least I didn't think I was. But I began to follow him, and it's that what brought me to this place, to pastor here in Dallas. This book, it challenged me to follow Jesus wherever he takes me, wherever he wants me to go. And that's my prayer for each of us as we've walked through this series as a church. My prayer is that it would challenge us and inspire us to seize the moments and the opportunities that God puts before us. That we would follow him, not the world, not our parents or our loved ones or people that have, I know they have our best interest at hand at times, but we're not called to follow them. We're called to follow him and go and do whatever he's called us to go and do. And here's the thing, that's going to look differently for each of us. It will. For some of us, that can mean something as crazy as moving to a foreign country like Arnie and Lynn and leaving to minister to Muslims. It could mean that. As a matter of fact, a guy that walked through this book with me 7 or 8 years ago, within that first year, he had packed his family up and they were off to the Philippines to serve in an orphanage, and they served there for 3 years. It could mean that for some of you. For some of you, maybe it's not something that big. Maybe you, like Mike's story, have been caught in a job because it's something that you just felt, oh, this is what I should do. It provides for my family, whatever, and you're stuck in a job. And maybe it means saying, okay, Lord, I realize this isn't where you've called me to be. This isn't what you've called me to do. And maybe it's just finding a new job. Maybe it's something along that lines. For some of you, it might just mean loving people in your workplace better. Learning to let your light shine wherever he has you, in your neighborhood, in the grocery store. Maybe it's volunteering somewhere in a place where you can let your light shine in a way that people are drawn to the Lord through you. For some of you, maybe it's just starting something new. Maybe there's things stirring, and maybe it's a Bible study or a group of getting together with people and just doing something that helps people grow in the Lord. There's all sorts of ways. We're all different, and what God does with each of us is going to be different. But whatever it is, my desire is that you embrace that life that God has for you. That you embrace it, to live it, to walk it. That you would allow him to awaken you the things that are dead. A lot of us, there's things inside of us that we have let die. And God wants to awake them in us. That we would allow him to resurrect a passion to follow him and to live the life that he's called us to live. We can't let others keep us from seizing those moments. Those moments that just might change a life. Or perhaps change the world. Who knows what God wants to do in and through your life, but you'll never know if you don't allow him to awake you and begin to live the life that he's called you to live. Amen? We're going to finish with a song that I asked Joshua. I said, can we finish with this song, Awake My Soul? Because I believe it goes right along with what this message and what this series is about. And so I'm going to have the worship team come forward, and we're going to just, I just want to pray, and as we finish praying, we're just going to stand, and we're going to sing this song together, because I really believe God is desiring to awake our souls. Why? So that we can go out into our worlds and see a great awakening happening in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, or wherever it is that God takes us. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this, for your word. I thank you for this series. I thank you for Jonathan. What an example is Jonathan to us and to our lives, Lord. Here is a man that just was faithful to follow you, to do what he felt you were calling him to do, and not to allow fear and other things to get in the way. It doesn't mean we're not going to experience those fears. It doesn't mean we're not going to be afraid to step out. I will admit I was scared to death to step into senior pastoring. And even times I'm scared, Lord. But it means that we don't allow the fear to control us. We learn to walk in courage and to step through that fear and to trust that you are bigger than the fears that the world or enemy can bring against us, Lord. Help us to be people who aren't afraid to live the life that you've called us to live, Lord. Help us to be people who allow you to awaken us the things that we've allowed to die, the passions that you created us for, Lord, to live the life that you've called us to live. That's what this series is about, Lord. That's what your word is about. That's what your life for us is about. It's about living the life that you've called us to live in a way that draws others into your kingdom, Lord. Loving you, loving others to extend your kingdom. That's what it's about, Lord. And we just pray that you teach us, you show us, you help us how to do that, Lord. Awake our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.